Well, good morning, everybody. So glad you are here as we continue our series, Half Truths. We started this series a couple of weeks ago, and we've been looking at these statements that get passed along maybe from generation to generation, and they get passed along as being true, but upon further investigation, you find that they're really just half true. And what we've been talking about is that these half truths really can be pretty dangerous, because they have just enough truth in them to be believable, but they have enough error in them to really derail our life, and not only derail our life, but derail our faith as well. Because a lot of these half-truths have a thought or an impression about who God is, what God thinks, how God reacts in certain situations. And when we begin buying into some of these, it really does affect the way we view God. And we've said this each week, that if our view of God is based on half-truths, then our trust in God can never fully grow. That trust being the key to relationships, that if we're constantly questioning God and things about God because we're buying into these half-truths, then our trust can never be fully grown, nor can our relationship ever become everything that God wants it to be or what we really want it to be either. And so it's important that we understand these half-truths and bring facts and truth to bear on them. So we've been in this for 2 weeks. Just to recap, if you're joining us for the first time today, the very first week we dealt with the half-truth, God does not want us to judge. God tells us not to judge. And we discovered that's really only half-true, because there are times that we have to judge or use judgment in life. And so a better statement is this: use good judgment, but don't be judgmental. That we have to use good judgment in life, but there's a difference between using good judgment and being judgmental. And the Bible does say not to be judgmental. Then last week, we tackled the half-truth of God will never give you more than you can handle. And we found out that it's really only half-true because the verse of the Bible that truth is taken from deals with temptation. And when you're talking about temptation, yes, there's truth to that, because God will never allow us to experience more temptation than we can handle. But in every one of those temptations, he gives us a way of escape that we can, if we follow it, we can not have to give in to the temptation, but we can avoid the temptation. And so we said that it's better to have a statement like this: God will help you handle whatever you've been given. Because the reality is though that half-truth deals with temptation, it doesn't deal with the trials and difficulties and painful things that we go through in life. That we will still experience those kinds of things, because life throws at us a whole bunch of junk at times. And the better statement is that God will help us handle whatever we've gone through, whatever life is throwing at us. And so we say there are times that God allows those things into our life to really help deepen our faith, to help develop our character, and to help us to refocus on our attention on things that are most important in life. And so these are some of the half-truths. If you want to hear the whole thing in its entirety, we can find that in two different places. You can find the video version of those messages at our website, thebridge.me/messages. You can find those messages along with all the others we've done for the last few years. You can find them there. Or you can listen to the podcast if you want to listen to it on the go. You go to iTunes and search for The Bridge Podcast, and you find the little red button, the Bridge button. You find that, you're there. You can listen to the audio version on the go, either place. You can catch up. So if you're not here one Sunday and you want to catch up, those are the places to find them. Today, we want to deal with this particular half-truth. God wants you to follow your heart. God wants you to follow your heart. Now, this whole follow your heart thing is huge in our culture. And it has been in previous cultures as well. Follow your heart. Do whatever your heart is leading you to do. It's advice that maybe you've given at times. It's advice that maybe you've been given at different times. It's kind of a creed that millions, if not billions, of people buy into, especially in Western civilization, Western society. It's a part of songs and movies and stories. And the belief is essentially that your heart is like this compass that will direct you to the true north of your life if you just have the courage to follow it. It's like this guide in your life that will direct you to true happiness in life if you just have the courage to listen to what your heart is telling you. Listen and follow your heart. Maybe there have been a time when you've needed to get advice on something. And maybe you went to a loved one or somebody you respected or maybe even a licensed counselor to try to get advice. And at the end of the conversation, it was kind of wrapped up with, you know, well, the best thing is just whatever you feel like your heart's telling you to do, just follow your heart. And that sounds like it's good advice, but is it really good advice? I mean, maybe you've given that in conversations. People ask you about things. You know, at the end of the day, just follow what your heart is telling you to do. And maybe you had the best of intentions. Maybe you're just trying to end the conversation. But you had the best of intentions possibly telling someone, just follow your heart. But what advice are we really giving people? You know, somebody tells you, follow your heart. You've made all these bad decisions in your life. Just follow your heart. It's like, is that really good advice? So what is the advice that we're really giving people? I want to break the phrase down a little bit for you, okay? So when you look at the phrase, first of all, you've got follow. And follow means to be led by something or someone. So if you're following, that means something or someone is leading you. So what is it that we're asking to lead us? The second part of the phrase, your heart. We're not talking about the organ that pumps blood throughout your body. We're talking about the seat of feelings, desires, and emotions. Your heart is that place of feelings, your emotions, your desires. So we're saying, essentially, your feelings, desires, and emotions must be your guide. How many think that's good advice? That your feelings, your emotions, your desires, that should be the guide that you go by. That should be what directs your path in life. Man, those things change all the time, right? I mean, your feelings and emotions, they can change with any number of things. They can change with a phone call, with some criticism. They can change in traffic. They change all the time. So how consistent would your decisions be if you base them off of your feelings, your desires, your emotions? They probably lack consistency all throughout. And here's what makes it even worse. Here's where we complicate the issue. It's when we bring God into the equation. When we begin to say things like, God wants you to follow your heart. Because essentially, here's what we're saying. And I want to help you see this because there's a domino effect that goes with this. If our view of God is based on these half-truths, then it's, our trust in God and our relationship can never fully grow because there is a domino effect. If you say, above all else, God wants me to follow my heart. Well, what you're saying is that above all else, God wants me to be happy. Because following your heart going to be things that make you happy, right? I mean, you're not going to follow your heart to things that are not going to make you happy. So we're saying that God really wants me to be happy. And I want to show you how this begins to break down, and it can negatively impact our relationship with God, can potentially negatively impact our relationship to other people. So here's what we're saying. If God wants me to follow my heart, God wants me to be happy, whatever makes me happy is right, whatever makes me unhappy is wrong. Makes sense, right? God wants me to be happy by following my heart. And whatever makes me happy is going to be the right thing to do. Whatever makes me unhappy, that's wrong. I shouldn't go in that direction. And so if I buy into that, then I begin to think, well, trials, discomfort, obstacles, they're never God's will for my life. I mean, these difficulties that I experience, if I start going through difficulties or trials or roadblocks, then this obviously is not God's will because God wants me to be happy by following my heart. And so if these are wrong and they make me unhappy, then this is not the right thing. So these things are not God's will. God does not desire for me to go through these difficult things in life. And very subtly, maybe even without knowing, we begin to buy into this next level of this. That comfort, money, pleasure, possessions become false gods that I worship. Now see, none of us ever think this. You're not saying, hey, follow your heart. You're going to wind up worshiping. We don't say that. We're not even thinking that. But logically, when you begin to break this down, especially when you say that God wants you to do that, you're saying, above all else, God wants me to have these things that make me happy. And so these things of comfort, pleasure, the things that I desire that make me happy, these become idols of worship. And if that's the case, and the next level of this is really where it becomes a problem. Following my heart leads me to believe everything exists to serve me, even God. Again, I understand, we don't think through that way. But if God wants me to follow my heart and he wants me to be happy and the things that made me happy are right, things that made me unhappy are wrong, trials and those difficulties in life, they're not God's will. Possessions, you know, money, pleasures, that's God's will for me. So I want those things. And you know what? Everything in life is helping me to get those things because that's what makes me happy and that's what makes follow my heart happy. And God wants that. So God's going to help me get those things. So God exists as well to help me get those things. And everything serves to help me follow my heart and make me happy. Now, the problem, obviously, and the tragic side of this, is that there are many people that have walked away from God because they had a mindset that said, God wants me to be happy, he wants me to follow my heart, and I'm not happy, and I'm blaming it on God. And they've walked away from God, and they've said, you know what, I tried God, it didn't work. I tried church, didn't make me any happier. I went to a small group, I even read the Bible, and I still have cancer. I did all of those things. I even prayed some, and my kids are still rebellious. I did all of these things, and my finances aren't any better. See, I tried God, and it didn't work. I tried church, it didn't work. And I'm afraid that many people have walked away because they had this false impression of who God is and what God desires. And so they began building a belief structure based on a faulty foundation, and it couldn't stand. And they decided to walk away. And if that's you, I want to encourage you just to give God another look. But maybe this time through a correct set of lens. Because the Bible really says, in the book of Jeremiah, here's what the Bible says about our heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motives? Son, the heart is deceitful. See, nobody lies to us like our heart. Our heart is constantly lying to us. I don't know about your heart. My heart is always telling me the best things about me and the worst things about you. Now, see, I'm a sinful preacher. You might not deal with that, but I'm just telling you, for me, I deal with that. Always building me up, always telling me about my best intention, my best motives, and how your worst intention and worst motives are. Unless you say good things about me, and then you're good too, you know. But if you disagree with me or anything like that, then you're suspect, you know. And so while I'm sitting back pondering all of my virtues and all of your errors and shortcomings, at the same time I'm doing all of that, I can have the most horrific thoughts that I find very attractive in my heart. How is all of that? Because our heart is deceitful and it is sick. And man, if we try to follow that dude, we're going to be in trouble. Because it'll lead us to no healthy place. Now, here's what Jesus said about the heart in the Gospel of Mark. He says this in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. He says, for from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. Now, let me ask you a question. If I put someone up here and I listed out the characteristics of this person and I gave you those characteristics that I just read, and I said, now this is the person that we're going to follow, how many of you are going to sign up and follow that person? None of us. But we'll follow our heart. And Jesus said, this is what's in our heart. Those things that are in our heart, that's what comes out. And it starts inside our heart. So here's the problem. When we say we're going to follow our heart, I'm going to give you two reasons why that could be an issue. Or two things about following our heart. Number one, if our heart leads us, we will pursue happy over healthy. If we allow our hearts to lead us and go unchecked and just take us wherever you want, we're going to follow our heart. If you do that, more times than not, your heart will lead you toward happy as opposed to healthy. In other words, you will whatever makes you happy at all costs, whether it's unhealthy or unwise, as long as you're happy. That's why in the book of Proverbs, it says this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. Not above all else, follow your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Watch over it. Watch over the things that you put into your heart. Watch over where your heart leads you. Because everything about your life flows from your heart. Guard your heart. Don't just jump in line and start following it, because if you do, it will lead you to make decisions that tend to be more happy than healthy. And many times it will lead us to make very unhealthy and unwise decisions. I mean, don't we teach our kids that? I mean, we don't allow our kids to just do anything and everything they want. Why? Why not? If it's going to make them happy, why not just let them have what they want, do what they want? Because hopefully we're a little older, we're a little more mature, we've been down the road a little further. We know if you do all the things that you want to do, it's going to lead you to a place that's unhealthy and unwise. And so we don't allow our children to do whatever they want because they're not old enough, wise enough to make good, healthy, wise decisions. Hey, I'm going to tell you a story about my life, and when I tell you, you're going to sit back and go, why? Why would anyone ever do that? I'm just telling you up front, okay, so save that part. When I was like 4 or 5 years old, there was, man, I loved mayonnaise. I'm telling you, thank you. So that, my mom, you know, she'd get mayonnaise out, she's making sandwiches or whatever. I wanted to get like a spoon and just eat mayonnaise. And my mom was constantly like, no, no, you can't. Don't do that. I'm not going to let you do that. Why? Why not? It'll make my heart happy. Well, I don't know if she just got tired of dealing with it, but one day she gave me the desire, this desire for the whole 4 to 5 years of my life, this desire that I've had. She gave me the jar of mayonnaise and a spoon. And said, enjoy. It was the greatest day of my life. I was like, you've got to be kidding. Oh, man, my heart was so happy. It was incredible. Those 10 minutes of eating that mayonnaise was incredible, followed by the worst sickness for the next 2 to 3 hours of my life. I puked so much mayonnaise that I didn't want to eat anything that was connected to mayonnaise for years. And the whole time I'm puking this mayonnaise, I'm hearing my mom's voice. It's going to make you sick. It's going to make you sick. Maybe my mom knew a little bit more than I did. Maybe God does too. Maybe God knows a little bit more than we do. Maybe God knows that if we pursue whatever makes us happy, that eventually it'll lead us to make choices that are unhealthy. Unwise. Maybe the things that he says in his word are things that are really true, that are really going to lead us to a healthy place. Some of you know people that have been married and they've gotten divorced. And when you've asked them, you know, what happened? What took place? What went on? They will look at you and say, well, you know, it just wasn't working. I mean, she wasn't happy, and I wasn't happy, and life's too short to be unhappy, and so we just got a divorce. And look, please, I care about people. I'm a pastor. I care about people. I care about you. And there's nothing in me that wants to bring up something to make anyone feel guilty or feel bad. But here's what I know. We talked about this a few weeks ago in a series called This Is Us. We talked about marriage on one of those Sundays. Marriage, according to the Bible, marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract that we get into and get out of. It's a covenant that we make. And we don't agree to these things to a preacher. We agree before God. And we stand before God and we say, for better or for worse, sickness and in health, good times and in bad, till unhappiness do we part. No, we don't say that, do we? We say, till death do we part. And we make this covenant before God. And I'm afraid sometimes in our rush to happy, we rush away from things that are healthy. And maybe we make some unhealthy and unwise decisions along the way. Maybe God wanted to teach you something about selfless, sacrificial love. See, I don't know of a better relationship in this world to teach you things about sacrificial, selfless love than marriage. Maybe God wanted to teach you some of that. Maybe God wanted to teach you how to deal with conflict. That's a great place to learn that. Maybe God wanted to use you to speak to future generations. That people can disagree about something, they can have conflict, they can work through that conflict, and they can find a different level of happy on the other side. Now again, I you may be sitting here and you've gone through a divorce, and I'm not trying to bring up the pain and devastation of that. I'm really trying to speak to people who are married, and maybe right now you're living on the worst side of that for better or for worse equation. You know, I get it. When you're getting married, man, you're standing there and the preacher would say, you know, for better or for worse, and you're sitting there going, we're not going to have any worse. We're in love. I mean, we've got secret nicknames for each other and a song and blah, blah, blah. Well, now you're a few years down the road and there's a worse. I just want to encourage you, listen. Don't be so quick to try to say, I've got to be happy, I've got to be happy. Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, here's what he said in 1 Peter chapter 1. But just as he who called you is happy, so be happy in all you do. That's not what it says. We wanted to say that. Our heart wants it to say that. That's not what it says, though. Here's what it says. But just as he, talking about God, who called you as holy, so be holy in all you do. We definitely don't want it to say that. Holy is to be set apart. It's to be different. Maybe God wants to do something in your life that reflects healthiness and holiness as opposed to just happiness. Maybe there's something that God wants to do that he can only do if you're not constantly rushing to find happiness. The list could go on and on, right? I mean, some of you hate your job. I talk to people so many times, they hate their job, man, they hate their job. What their heart wants to do is pull a Johnny Paycheck and go in and tell their boss.
Bob and Chubby, I ain't working here no more.
Nothing would make your heart happier, right? You're like, oh, just one day. I just love to do that. Well, before you and Johnny decide to go in there, think about that maybe I don't need to rush to find something happy, especially if I don't have another job lined up because I got little ones at home to take care of. But how often do we rush to find happy when our heart's allowed to lead, more times than not, we're going to pursue happy more than we're going to pursue healthy or holy. But secondly, when our heart's allowed to lead, we will pursue bling over blessing. We will pursue bling over blessing. See, our hearts are driven to have more stuff, more possessions, more money, more things. That's where our hearts want. That's where our hearts are driven toward. And advertisers know that. You know, I'm thankful that we get to record shows now so I can scan through some of those advertisements, right? But advertisers know that. Man, listen, I was at late night television not too long ago. I was watching something, and man, all of a sudden the commercials come on. I didn't have it recorded, so I had to sit there through the commercials. Here's what I learned about me: 3 things that I needed to be happy in life. I needed a blanket with holes in it. It's called a Snuggie. I needed some miracle lotion that would make me look 22 again. So roll back 2 or 3 years, right? So. And I needed to be in better shape by using a shake weight. How many of you remember those ridiculous things, right? That's going to get you in shape. Do you know why they're still selling those? Because people are still buying them. I mean, it's ridiculous. I can't. Now, if you bought a shake weight, if you own one, the bridge is a place where no perfect people are allowed. You're welcome here anytime. But that we're driven to stuff, man. I mean, it's newer, shinier, faster, bigger, better. You know, man, if we can find that, and then we get that connected to, you know, a fun, thrilling experience, plus the right relationship. And if you're not in the right relationship, then you find a different one that's maybe newer and younger. Plus the right appearance. And that means if you have to tuck it, puff it, shave it, whatever you got to do just to get the right appearance, when you combine all of those things, then you will be happy. Then you will be satisfied. And the reality is, it's just the opposite. Because see, those things are cravings. Those things are appetites. Here's the principle about appetites and cravings. Appetites are never fully and finally satisfied. You feed an appetite, and guess what? It's going to want more. I mean, you've probably had the experience before. I know I have, where you sat down at a meal. It was an incredible meal. You loved everything that you were eating, and you ate so much, you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm about to pop. And you walked away from there, you're like, I don't know if I want to eat any more food the rest of my life. Did you eat again, though? Well, of course you ate again. Why? Because your appetite was there. Appetites are like that. Cravings are like that. When you feed them, they grow and they demand more. And you either have to keep feeding them or kill them. That's the only thing that's a possible choice. These appetites drive us. And you know what? When we allow our heart to lead, we will pursue bling. We will pursue the things as opposed to blessing. See, God has something so much better than bling. The whole word bless or blessing, it can literally be translated more than happy. You want to be happy? God wants to bless you, which is more than happy. He wants to provide himself to you. His presence in your life. With his presence comes joy, peace. It doesn't mean that things in life will always go great and there'll be no problems. God's blessing on your life doesn't mean that it'll be a pain-free existence. It doesn't mean your kids won't be rebellious. Doesn't mean your car won't break down. Doesn't mean you won't have a zit before the prom. All those things still happen. It's part of life. But what it means is that God's presence is with you through all of those things. His peace is with you. The joy that comes from his presence is with you. See, we chase after happiness, and happiness is based on happenstance. It's based on what's happening, the circumstances of our life. That's why your happiness can be up here one day and way down here the next day, like a yo-yo, because the circumstances change. But not the joy of God, not the blessing of God. See, joy is an internal thing. It comes from inside. That means all hell can be breaking loose, but you can still have joy because of God's presence. That's his blessing in your life. And I'm telling you, a blessed life is so much better than bling and chasing after happiness. And so, two implications about your heart as we close up. Two implications. Number one, our hearts were designed to be led, not followed. Our hearts were designed to be led, not followed. Again, our hearts lie to us more than anything else. Our hearts will lead us toward what is most selfish, self-gratifying, self-indulging. Our hearts will lead us toward immediate gratification. Just do it. Quench your thirst. Go for it. Nobody will take care of number one like you will. Why wait? Why put off to tomorrow what you can have today? Get all that you can get. See, that's what our heart goes toward. Chase after those things. Chase after them constantly. And yet the Bible, that's why the Bible, instead of saying follow your heart, it continues to instruct us, guide your heart, teach your heart, discipline your heart. Or Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and gave this to his son. And in Proverbs chapter 23, 19, it says, listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way of the Lord. See, our hearts were never designed to lead us, but they were to be led, specifically led toward a relationship with our Heavenly Father. The second implication about our heart is this. Our hearts were designed to believe in God, not become our God. Our hearts were created and designed to believe in God, to desire a relationship with God, not to become this thing that's in charge of our life, that's dictating where we go, what we do. Not to become this God in our life, but to believe in God. That's why it says in the book of Proverbs, it says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say trust in all your heart. It says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Trust in God completely with all of your heart. And don't lean into what your heart's, you know, wanting to go this way or that way, your own understanding of things. Just trust in him and let him direct your path. Your heart wasn't designed to lead you, but to be followed as you direct. And specifically as you direct under God's leadership. David said in the book of Psalm, chapter 37, verse 4, says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So, well, hey, right there. You can get the desires of my heart right there. It's interesting. It says, take delight. That word delight is a word that means enjoy, take pleasure. But it also has the connotation of being soft and pliable. So here's what he's saying. As we take joy, as we take pleasure in God's presence in our life, As we want to be in his presence, as we want to enjoy his presence more and more, our hearts become softer and more pliable. And then our desires begin to reflect what his desires are for our life. So when we pray, we start praying in accordance to what his will is for our life. And God loves answering those prayers. And the softer and more pliable our heart becomes, the more we are conformed into his image. And the more we delight and who he is and his presence in our life. It's a compounding effect that just grows and grows and grows. And here's the kicker. That's the life you were created for. Chasing all these things, following your heart in whatever direction your heart wants to lead, is not the kind of life you were created for. Take, if there was a fish, okay? Let's put it this way. There's fish in the ocean. Occasionally it would get a glimpse of the beach. See all the people having a good time out there on the beach. It began to develop in his heart this desire to just want to hang out on the beach for one day. It's my heart's desire since I was an egg. My heart's desire just to hang out on the beach for a day. Well, suppose that fish could communicate to you that that was its heart's desire. And you were like, okay, I'm going to grant that. And you take the fish and you put it on the beach. Question, Is the fish going to be happy? It's not rhetorical. This is a group participation. Fish is on the beach out of the water. Is the fish going to be happy? No. Because the fish out of the water is going to get really thirsty, okay? It's going to need the water. No, it's not going to be happy. What if you give the fish a wad of cash, 100,000 clams? Give it a wad of cash. Maybe you give the fish a lounge chair, a Corona. Maybe you give him a fishy magazine. Fish tails look great. You know, those gills real or fake. All those kind of things. You give him all of these things. Is the fish going to be happy? Now, some of you are hesitating now. You're like, well, I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot of things. No, the fish is not going to be happy. Why? Because the fish was created for the ocean, not created for the beach. And listen to me, you were created to pursue a relationship with God and to live the life that God has for you to live. That's why you were created. You will never be satisfied chasing after all of these other things. You can have everything this world wants to throw into your life, and you can have all of it that you can stand, and you will find yourself isolated, lonely, guilt-ridden, and completely unsatisfied. Because that's not how you were made. You were created for so much more. You were created for a heart with a heart that longs after God. And it's only in that relationship with your Heavenly Father that you will ever be satisfied. Ever. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, God said to him, and I think it's a great word for us. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. See, that's the promise to everyone who says yes to God, who says yes to his son, Jesus. He says, I'll take that heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll bring your heart to life. Man, you think you have it, all the desires chasing after those things. You think that's fine. You think that's great. It's totally pales in comparison to God bringing life to your heart. Or as it says in Corinthians, that you will become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. See, that the life you chased after before, and some of you tried, and I get it, and I tried too. Chased after everything. But the life you find in Christ is so much more. And it's what you're created for. But here's the challenge. First day of summer was this past week, which could have fooled me. I thought it was here about 2 months ago. But first day of summer was this past week. What if this summer you decided to follow Jesus instead of follow your heart? What if this summer you decided to direct your heart to follow after God? To follow what Jesus wants for your life. How will your life be different at the end of the summer? See, I believe that you'll experience what God talks about with that blessed life, where you enjoy the presence of God, and God does amazing things in your life and through your life. And I hope you take the challenge. Let me pray for us, okay? God, thank you so much for loving us in ways that we'll never be able to understand. For providing your grace and mercy in ways that it's mind-blowing. And God, for whatever reason, even after we've chased everything in the world, you still invite us to come and experience your presence. Experience a relationship with you. God, I pray for anyone here today that has never surrendered their heart over to you, that even right there in their seat, they would simply say, Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. I want my heart to follow you and not me follow my heart. God, I know that a simple act of faith of surrendering our heart over to your Son is enough. It's enough to provide salvation. It's enough to provide the makings for a blessed life. I pray that you would help us this summer to chase after you, to follow you and not follow our heart. And God, that you would show us amazing things and you would do an amazing work in our life as we do that. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for being here today, and I hope you'll come back and see us next Sunday as we wrap up the series, as we talk about God helps those who help themselves. That's our final half truth, so make sure you're back. Be with us. God bless you. Have a great week.